Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with me, Pete, and along with me this week I have Ben.
Hello.
Eddie.
Hello.
And Kirk.
Hello.
Way. He's back. Yeah,
feels weird, right?
Yeah, don't sound, too surprised.
I am surprised. In fact, Kirk, like an hour before the show started, I saw that your new story wasn't taken. Ben obviously left it for you because it was a Resident Evil one. But yeah. I saw that I was like, oh, here we go again. Is where we're going to get that little message.
when I joined the pre-chat, just before you joined, these guys were talking about me cutting it close to cancelling today.
Oh, really?
I was literally there like, Kirk, you're leaving it real late if you cancel on the Discord. Like,
I did think if Kirk was going to cancel like 6 o'clock tonight, I'd be like, Kirk, buddy, do you want to give us a little bit more notice?
Get one of those friendly Ben messages that we all know.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Hey,
come on,
buddy.
Guys.
How's it going?
Do you want to not use your mouse or your phone again for the rest of the evening? Those messages. We love it.
Please, for the love of God, don't fucking bang.
I promise nothing.
Hey, buddy. Stop fucking banging.
Look, Ben, we can hear Hector in the background already, right? So everyone knows that's
no,
the source.
No, Hector's
of
in the other
banging.
Room, actually. What you're going to hear is my dog whining that she can't get to the tortoise.
Oh, yes, there will be that too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, all four of us for once. This is great. And yeah. Short-lived.
It's a novelty
because
these days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are off for a couple of weeks, aren't you? Yeah, I am, so make the most of it.
Yeah, make the most of all four of us being together for once. and in that, we are, of course, going to be going through the news and the new releases and a bit of what we've been playing, which has one new game at least, doesn't it, Ben?
Yep, one new game. We've been playing Fire Emblem.
Yes, indeed. That should be excellent to talk about. I mean, mine's quite recent, but not
as
much
as that. Say, that's really unfair on your games, pretty much. If you don't count your game as a new game, I've never, ever played a new game.
Yeah. It's a month old. It's old news.
Eddie has been looking forward to you talking about this game so much. Every week he said it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even off recording, he's talking to me about it on the golf course. Just like, when's Pete going to talk about that fucking game?
Fair. Well, yeah,
I can't move for hearing
that.
About this fucking game.
You know, we haven't said its name yet, and we're not going to, so that's also coming up in what we've been playing. And our feature this week is about which games we would like to see rebooted, which I think makes a lot of sense, seeing as every fucking game is getting a reboot these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, I mean, to start with, should we go into quick news, Ben?
Quick news. So there is a Nintendo Direct that's been announced for Tuesday, so the day before this podcast comes out. So we're not really going to go into it that much because we will be instantly out of date, won't we?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, so I'll be checking that one out. We'll be talking about it next week. It's a third-party director. There's no Nintendo published games at this event, so people are a little disappointed. And that's what Nintendo like to do of late, disappoint. So they're continuing the old trend. No, I reckon it'll be good, actually. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week. Next up, A Plague Tale Requiem got, I think it was 10 minutes of gameplay footage in a special event. And they released the release date is the 18th of October. So as we know, that's coming to Game Pass day one. And it's the sequel to the original Plague Tale, and it looks bloody excellent.
So, it does, yeah.
Look forward to that one. Third one, the new PS Plus has released in the UK now. So it previously came out in Asia, moved on to the US and other regions, and now it's available in Europe and the UK, and I've got it, and it looks very, very tasty. More games than we ever expected. I think there's like 700-800 games on there.
Nice.
It's bloody brilliant. Like, it looks insane. You just go category, you go by genre, and they've got 10-15 games in every single genre. Absolutely brilliant. So I know they don't have the day and date games that the Game Pass has, but
was there a lot of indie fluff in there though?
Kirk, there's games on proper games in there. Like,
that. But what is indie taken like on it?
Well, they're obviously going to be indie games on there. But I was surprised at that, like, B tier kind of game, like not indie, not AAA, but just so many games. Like, I was well impressed. I was looking at this and I was going, this is, you know, people are not liking to call it a Game Pass competitor, but I was like, fuck, this is. I mean, on the face of it, if you get rid of the day and date games, which is a big selling point of Game Pass, don't get me wrong, It's far superior, in my opinion, to Game Pass. But the day and date stuff really does add massive value on the Game Pass side. But it's a good time to own both consoles if you're lucky enough to have both. Nice. Next bit of news. Fall Guys, we're going to talk about later. That hit 20 million players this week after going free to play.
Not surprising.
Out on every console now. So big, big numbers being hit by Fall Guys again. Nice to see that game doing well yet again after its original release when it actually smashed on the PlayStation when it was on PS Plus.
It did, yeah.
Then we have the Switch version of No Man's Sky. We know that's coming out and it's got a release date now of the 7th of October along with a remastered physical PS5 version. So the Switch version will have all updates that the other versions have, except it will be single player only and it won't be multiplayer at launch, hinting that it will be multiplayer at some time, but they haven't confirmed that. But, you know, the Switch version of the game to have all the updates and everything, I mean, it sounds pretty damn good. And the last piece of news is that the Steam summer sale has now begun. And it goes from the 23rd of June through to the 7th of July. Loads and hundreds of bargains, aren't there, on there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely tons. I've already picked up a few games on it, including Hoa. Do you remember that one? H-O-A?
Oh, yeah.
No.
The one that's a bit like a Studio Ghibli-style Ori.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that one was 50% off, so I've grabbed that. And I've actually grabbed Heroes of Might and Magic 3 in the HD version, Eddie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, how many different versions of that game have you got now?
Look, this is my Witcher 3 for Ben. Like, I just, every time I have a chance to spend money on Heroes 3, I do it.
Yeah, but you've probably played Heroes 3 more than I've played The Witcher.
Oh, by so many hours, it's beyond belief, yeah.
Have you checked any of these out, Eddie?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, half my wish list has got discount. I'm tossing and turning between Steel Division 2, 75% off, and, you know, Spellforce 3, we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yep.
That is 75% off. It's like £8 or something. So, yeah, I'm doing my research.
Yeah. This is it. I'd really like to get June Spice Wars as well, but only 20%.
I think 20 or 25, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, 20%.
That's probably a £35 full price game, isn't it?
It's 25 full price.
Oh, 25, okay.
Just looking at Hoa and it looks great, by the way.
Yeah, right? I'm looking forward to playing that one. It should be a laugh. But I may pick up June as well. We'll see.
Yeah, Pete, I was just saying, I've got This Land Is My Land. I've been wanting that for a while, but it's 40%. I think if it was 50, I might have got it.
Fucking hell, Eddie.
I know, but that 40 is just, it doesn't look as good as like 50.
I'll tell you what, 50 rather than 40. So, yeah.
I need to be looking at this sale because my Steam Deck is going to be arriving soon.
Do you need to be all over this then?
To be all over it, don't I? Yeah. I need to be dropping cash, dropping coins.
For sure. Anything that's got the symbol to say you can use it on Steam Deck.
Anything
which says
it's barely playable, anything that says it's run just loads on the title screen, I'm in.
Exactly. Perfect.
Right, but that's the quick news.
Which was not at all quick, but that does bring us on to the bigger news. And I'll start out with a bit of a double take, because first off, we heard this week that their lead has taken a pay cut, hasn't he? So this is Yves Guillemot, who chose to forego about a third of his annual pay, equivalent to about £266,000, which tells you how much he's paid in the first place, which is ridiculous. A spokesperson for Ubisoft turned around and said that this was a personal decision which he took considering that the company had not reached their financial targets that it had publicly communicated to the markets. And they also made a nice mention of the execution of internal reforms meant to address issues stemming from the company's sexual misconduct scandals. So things are not going brilliantly for them. But at least their chief executive is sort of taking some ownership for that.
You know. Yeah, unlike other Bobby dogs in other companies, eh?
And like Mr. Kotick, maybe.
Maybe.
Yes, if you're going to be subtle about it, Kirk, don't just like beat it forward. It's fine.
Just say we're going to get sued. Let's get sued, right?
Exactly. We're going to get sued anyway. May as well.
We haven't done anything wrong.
Fuck you.
Ben, didn't we literally use content from a computer game on one of the early episodes of the show without asking anyone?
Yeah, we've done a few things like that. But that's...
I love how you're now bringing that up in later episodes. Jesus Christ. Just let people know now, why don't you? They weren't going to hear it properly anyway because sound audio was shit.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. It didn't matter. No, actually, that part, Kirk, was clear as day because we were just using someone else's audio.
You ripped it, didn't you? Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely wonderful, clear as day.
So I take it you'll be taking a pay cut for this sort of behaviour, Ben, though?
Like, I'll take 100% pay cut on
there
this.
There we go. Perfect. Yeah, right. All resolved. Don't we feel better about ourselves now?
Give me the same pay, but I feel great about it. Communicated to market.
You're a martyr now. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in slightly more positive news for Ubisoft, they did also, there is rumour at least, that Skull and Bones is finally going to be revealed. Have you guys heard about this one?
Yeah, because that's going to increase their share price or whatever.
Hey, people have been looking forward to this game for a while. Like,
This game was leaked and was shown off and stuff, and this looks tragic.
okay.
Yeah, pirate game where you can't get out of the boat. I think it's looking awful. But you never know. It could turn out to be great.
Yes, I mean,
but yeah, I think a contributor recently to Ubisoft's kind of like, you know, not doing so well is that Skull and Bones is looking shocking.
People are still looking forward to this, though.
Yeah, so, they are. They have been for years, haven't they?
They have since 2017 when it was first revealed. That is a long time as well. But yes, we're expected to hear more about this next week, 4th of July. Yeah. Next one.
That is close. Yeah, that
are
is
you
close.
Okay? Are you okay, Pete?
That was good.
You've made a few mistakes already. Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's just how hot this room is when I have to close the door and the window just so yeah, my I'm sound doesn't that get my room slightly here. Bugged out.
Yeah. It's so warm in the room because you can't have the window open.
Yeah, I'm dying. I'm dying in here. Anyway, it's fine. I'm almost done with my bit of the news.
All our listeners around the world are thinking, aren't they in England right now?
Yes,
that really cold, shitty country.
Yes, and it's
the truth hurts, but
it's it's the one week a year where it's
and,
hot.
And yes, listeners, it is 17 degrees and we're all complaining how hot it is.
Hey, it's like 19 here, Eddie. Come on.
Whoa, beautiful London and the pollution.
Exactly. That air pollution really does kick it up a notch over here. But you know what? You've thrown me off the rail. So that was everything for them. Skull and Bones, we're going to hear more of next week. There you go.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, I'll go next. Bungie wins lawsuit against Cheatmaker and awarded $13.5 million. This is from Game Industry. Elite Boss Tech's cheat software for Destiny 2 displays a graphical overlay that integrates into Bungie's copyrighted work to create an unlicensed derivative, which the firm accepted. It also admitted to willful infringement as well as the fact that its software violates the DMCA's anti-circumvention provision set up by Bungie. The software was reportedly downloaded 6,765 times, with each individual instance costing Elite Boss Tech $2,000. So that equals up to $13.5 million. As well as the financial award, Elite Boss Tech is also prohibited from creating or distributing any software that infringes on Bungie's rights or the rights of its parents, affiliates, or subsidiaries. The firm also cannot reverse engineer any games owned or published by Bungie. So what this basically means is it's kind of the first and big step against cheating companies, I guess, because they're having to pay a shitload, even if it's making other cheat making companies kind of question what they do or maybe think twice about what it is, then I think it's a good thing. The only thing that I thought bad came from this, holy shit, I typed in Elite Boss Tech just to do a little bit of research on them before this story, and there are so many cheating companies out there. Have you seen all? And they're not even... I always thought to get one of these cheats, you needed to go into, like, the fucking dark web, you know, and, like, download some dodgy stuff. But no, God, there's websites all over the place saying, you know, we can do this, we can do that. Yeah, it's crazy. But hey, what do you think? I think this is great.
You know, on Warzone, Eddie, you can, like... The reason there's so many cheaters is that you can just... rent it for a month. You can just rent the software for like a month.
Jesus.
And it's like, you know, $5 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've watched streamers talk about it and like interview people that have obviously been hackers.
Mm.
And it's just mental. They just say it's so easy. And you can get controllers that do it as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just a PC. It's just... I don't know, like... It's just a bit of a weird way of winning, and it's just...
I don't understand the point of people. It personally. Like, yeah. Why cheat? Like, what benefit are you getting? Like, other than showing off, like, stats which are skewed anyway.
Mm.
Like, there's obviously no skill to it, and it just makes you look like a prick, and just...
Well, you only have the account for a couple of days before you get banned, because people get burner accounts to do it with. It's just like, well, what's the fucking...
Yeah, well, look how good I am not.
Yeah, it's a really strange one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
mean, there's been instances where people have cheated in tournaments, and maybe they're doing it just because they need the money. Same with streamers. Like, streamers sometimes try and get away with it, and therefore they get more followers because they're really good.
Oh, yeah. There was that one that I saw about 6 months ago or something where a streamer accidentally showed his screen
where he could see everybody.
Yeah. And that was ages ago on COD, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, he got caught out, didn't he? And then he was flagged to Activision. Out. Yeah.
But it's just like, that's one way to lose your living.
Yeah.
Just like, fucked it.
But I think that's how he gained his living in the first place. So, you know.
If you go on Gamer Ranks and type in on YouTube and type in like cheaters, they've got some amazing videos of like top tens of like professional gamers getting caught cheating and streamers getting caught cheating. And honestly, I shouldn't laugh, but they're quite hilarious. Like, one of the guys, he's in this huge tournament, and he's pushing people away so he can delete the software off the computer quickly. It's really? All good fun, but yeah.
Amazing. Okay, well, this is
a great sign that this can happen, though, that a lawsuit can be brought up against. I mean, these companies and firms will now be like, oh, God, okay.
Yes.
Well, they're in the firing line, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, well. I think it will make these companies think twice before they even start, and I think it will take them a lot longer to maybe go through their things and make sure they're not breaching any laws. And therefore, that would probably, it would probably cripple half of them because they couldn't be asked to do the work. So I think this is good.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to assume they're not worth more than the amount they've just been sued for as well. So,
oh, God, yeah.
It's going to cause severe ripples for anyone else who doesn't want that hanging over their neck.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of things that are crippling, shall I take us on?
Oh, very good.
No, hang on. If you went on, then that would be good, but he hasn't mentioned why it'd be crippling. Now he's just mentioned crippling.
It's very good because I know the story, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So,
very good.
It's a two-part segue. Right, okay.
So Resident Evil's new PC patches have compromised visuals and hit performance hard. So this is as reported by Eurogamer. Last week, we got the new upgrades from Capcom for Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes alongside Resident Evil 7. Assuming you guys have heard about all of this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So these provided visual improvements, including most notably ray tracing and 120Hz support. But for PC players, at least, it seems that you might as well not bother because the improvements are basically not worth it. what seems to be the problem is the ray tracing mode, which replaces the screen space reflections, basically brings your resolution right down, and it makes it look worse than if you just didn't have the ray tracing mode on before. And what makes that even doubly worse is no matter what hardware you've got, there's no scalability to this at all. So it's not being optimized in the slightest. And I think the one of the funniest things is, so the remake was using on PC DirectX 11's API before, and the new one is using the 12 version. And it's actually worse using, where they tried to optimize it for that, it's actually worse if you turn the ray tracing off because the frame rates are about 25 to 30% less. So they've basically fucking bodged this big time. And the general consensus is don't bother upgrading. Now, what Capcom have done is that they have allowed the old versions to be installed back on, I think it was on Steam. Okay. But the new versions are still available as a default option to install. So if you're new to the series or you're new to go and buy it, you're probably going to download the one that's shit first, and you might get a bit bit of upset by that. But yeah, this is pretty bad. It doesn't appear to be console related. Consoles are generally running quite well, but I did actually hop into the RE2 remake using the new upgrades. First off, I can't really tell any difference. And I'm someone that likes visual improvements. And I watch all those Digital Foundry videos and stuff. But genuinely, I couldn't see it. Unless I was watching it side by side, I couldn't tell you what was new. But what I did actually find on mine, I put this on Twitter, but it didn't seem to be too much of an issue other than my one, is that it shut down my console twice, and it's the first time I've heard the fan spin up on my Xbox.
So, Kurt, when you said it's going smoothly on console, like, I've heard from several places that it's crashing, hard crashing all the time.
Is it?
If you're playing in hardcore mode, it hard crashes, and obviously because you're limited saves and you can't do stuff, then it's just people have lost like hours of progress and stuff. Like, when you said it's running smooth on console, I think it's generally because
there's not been too much of an uproar from the circles that I'm in, but
in comparison to PC, it's running.
PC is completely fucked in comparison. Well,
YouTuber Dreamcast guy did a whole video about how the upgrade has ruined everything on console.
Wow.
Jeez.
I'm sure they'll get it right. Yes. I'm sure they'll fix it and it'll be a visual upgrade and it's lovely. It's just very weird how it passes the testing, isn't it?
Well, I think they rushed it for their event last week. I think that's what it was, because they'd already said we're going to give these out for free, where other places were charging for upgrades and stuff, and they were like, oh, we'll do this as a goodwill thing, but we need to hit this mark so that we could get it out. But they obviously didn't have the time to optimize it properly, and obviously PC having so many variations, they just botched it. To reset a console like twice, for my own personal one, I was like, oh shit, it's my Xbox broken.
Yes, but that's the first thing. These consoles are so fucking expensive that you go like, oh, it's my system broken. And to be honest, like, this is the one thing, and this it really gets to me, like, consoles and gaming on consoles, they should not crash your system. They should not hard reset. When Miles Morales came out on PlayStation, like, it hard crashed, and I thought it broken my PS5 like twice. Like, the noises that it was making was
a lot of people had that as well,
fuck,
didn't they?
And it was new, wasn't it?
Okay, well, I'm never playing your game again.
Yeah,
like, your game is garbage. Your game is done. I've bought a console for one reason and one reason only: that everything works all the time on it. Like, else I'd have a PC.
Yeah.
But I sacrifice the goodness for the console. It works all the time.
God, bear in mind, I also shit myself because I've got the Halo Infinite Xbox, don't I? So it's doubly worse for me because it's limited edition.
You probably, Kirk, you'd probably send it back to get repaired and get a normal one back.
I would, wouldn't I? is not what I sent you, you fucks. I'm hoping. Capcom aren't going to mess this up again. They're gonna sort it out, I would have thought, but it's just a really crap launch for what should have been quite a nice thing. End of the day, you can't complain too much because it's free, and they've now reverted back to the old one. But still, it's just a bit crap, isn't it?
It's a bit of a bit pointless to give a freebie if it doesn't fucking work, though.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah,
well, running this theme, I think, into my news story. KOTOR 2 that has just released on the Switch is currently impossible to complete.
Yeah.
At the moment it's impossible to complete KOTOR 2 on the Switch due to a bug. It crashes just after the Basilisk crash cutscene. I can't remember that from the game.
It's literally just before the start of the best bit of the game.
Okay. Yeah. So it crashes there. Aspyr, who made the game or have made the port rather, have recognized that this is an issue, and they've released a statement on how to work around it by using the cheats in the game to warp past it. But I mean, this is just fucking mental how they can release a game. No, like, how can you not know this? Like, did they not test it? Did they not play the game through?
It's a really odd one, isn't it?
Like, seems mental. Their statement is also a little bit off, because I think it said it says, we're aware of an issue that's preventing some Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic to the Sith Lords players from advancing in the game. Our data suggests that this is only affecting a small number of users, but please rest assured that we're working on a patch to fix it. Now, from what I've heard and what I've read in the reporting outlets, it's not a small number of users. It's impossible to complete.
Yeah, this is what I heard as well.
So I'm very sceptical as to that statement. I'm also incredibly sceptical over the reviews that I watched on this game. So actually, most of these reviewers have just relied on previously playing the game, just playing it for a little bit, and didn't play it for all the way. And that is acceptable on a port like this, don't get me wrong. But it's just interesting that nobody's finished it. But to release a game and nobody has... They must know that this error is in there. They must know. And they've just done it anyway. It doesn't leave a great taste in the mouth when these are the guys also making the remake.
Yeah. It goes back to that whole thing that we've said before, isn't it? It's like, who is testing these games? How is this getting past like the quality assurance tests and all that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff? Like, there must be someone in that company that is able to complete it from start to finish because they fucking made it, or they're just not bothering. Like, so,
It's mental. Like, I can only imagine they. But it wasn't as if everyone was going, oh, damn it, when's Knights of the Old Republic 2 coming out on Switch? God damn it, it needs to be any day now. I mean, you could wait a couple of weeks, I'm sure. Like, we've waited many, many moons for this game.
Yeah.
So, it's fucking mental. Yeah, as I said, Aspyr, what are you doing? What are you doing? hopefully they're spending all their time making the remake.
That's why. You didn't have time to play all the way through.
Exactly.
This was, right. I mean, there was not that much good news in this one. I suppose the Bungie one was good news, but that's about it.
We had more good news than the quick news, didn't we?
We did. That was much more pleasant, yes. The long, quick news. Yeah.
A few release dates and PS Plus, etc. Yeah.
Nice. Come on, Eddie. Tell us there's lots in the new releases.
Ooh. Let's put it this way. There are more DLCs and expansions than there are games this week.
Excellent.
Let me start with a belter. Cuphead, the delicious last course DLC. Yeah, you Cuphead fans. And there are a lot of you, to be fair.
I don't know why you
are fans, but, you know, Ben will defend you. Coming out on PC, Xbox, and Switch, June 30th. Another helping of classic Cuphead action awaits you in Cuphead, the delicious last course. You know it's a slow week when I have to read the blurb of DLC instead. Fucking hell. Brothers Cuphead and Magnum are joined by the clever adventurers...
Mugman.
I thought Magman. No, fine. Miss Chalice, for a rollicking adventure on a previous undiscovered Inkwell Isle. It's got new weapons, magical charms, Miss Chalice's unique abilities, and there's a new quest as well.
Is it on Game Pass? I think this is on Game Pass, isn't it, Kirk?
I don't think so. No, because Cuphead's done really well as a paid game, and I'm pretty sure that this will not be coming. I think that the game, I've never dived into it because I haven't been bothered to pay for it, to be fair. It's only like 15 quid, but it's extremely hard from what I've gathered.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far I'd get in it, but I think the visual style of it is fucking amazing. And,
oh my God.
Like, it's just weird Disney.
I think it looks awful.
No.
It's fucking awful. It looks like Disney's taken some drugs.
Yeah, well, that's more what they drugs.
It's all they used to do. And that's,
looks like Disney has just gone back to the old way of doing things. Yes.
I think the only person here that would actually enjoy this game, I think, would be Pete.
I don't want to play it.
I'm not saying that you do want to play it, but I think it's really difficult as well from what I've heard. So, and because of that, I just can't be arsed.
I can see why you'd think I'd like the style of game though, Ben. Just this one has never really appealed.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's got a huge, huge following. It's done incredibly well. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be up
One of the biggest events at Summer Games Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
This announcement.
It was one of the... Yeah, yeah. People were really looking forward to it, weren't they? So.
Not I.
Skeptical.
The Galactic Junkers coming out on PC, PlayStation, Xboxes, June 30th. Become the space captain you always wanted to be. There are just a few problems. Your ship needs work, there's a price on your head, and your crew are idiots. Seek your fortune and the truth in the Galactic Junkers, a comedic space combat adventure game. So you can explore, gain resources through discovery, you can battle and board enemy ships, hire and maintain your crew, which looks pretty cool. You can buy, upgrade and repair your ships. This, on paper, looks like my perfect kind of game, but I'm really, really off-put because the artwork to me is just terrible. To our listeners, it's like everyone's got a bobblehead and it's quite...
They look like meat characters, don't they?
It's like 3D... what's that game that fucking everyone plays where you're a killer?
Oh, Among Us.
Yes, it's like a 3D Among Us kind of style, isn't it?
Yeah, I really don't like the way the maps look. Yeah, that's the key thing. The ships, I do not like that.
Yeah, either. But the premise of the game, right? Like, if somebody gave you this game and you played it, I'm sure you'd like it. Like... I'm with you, Eddie, that on paper this sounds like a really good game.
Yep.
I honestly think if they just, and I don't know why they've gone down this route, if they just change the characters to stop looking like fucking idiot little cartoon things, because as a grown adult I will not enjoy playing this because I'll go, I'm playing a kid's game. If they... And I'm sure if they just change the characters to look like normal, you know, semi-normal people, even like Rimworld people, then adults will be encouraged to play it as well as children. But I guess if their target audience is solely children, then I guess they've done the right thing.
That's a very back kind of way.
You have a very tendency to review, actually. Juvenilize when Rimworld also looks like a game for kids, even though...
Yeah, I know, and I always take a little bit of offence to this because most of the games that I play do look...
This is coming from a man that has openly said that he loves Minecraft as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a perfect example, Kirk, because haven't I said many times that I do not play it because I feel like a child when I play it. So I don't play it.
Well, it's because you've been shamed by people around you.
You were shamed by your girl.
Yeah, that's totally right. But it's not only that, because it's the inner shame, because I could play it when she's away, but I don't, because it's the inner shame of going...
No, the gravity of her shaming as pulled you.
It's also my inside voice going, I can't believe you're doing that. Why are you playing that?
Only because of what she said before. Yeah.
I don't know, because even before her, I still felt bad playing it. I still played it now and again, but I did feel bad. Like, I would never do it when I used to live abroad and I used to have people coming in and out of my room all the time. I would never, ever play it there.
This was like your porn, wasn't it? That's the situation we've got to
it. Apart from I'm more open about my porn than I am Minecraft. Yeah.
No one's ever called Minecraft porn before, but... Yeah, there we go.
For Eddie, that's what it was. Okay, right.
That's Eddie's porn. It's Eddie's porn.
This took a turn. Right, next one. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak DLC coming out on Switch, June 30th. The world of Monster Hunter Rise gets bigger and deeper with this massive expansion featuring new monsters, new locals, and more.
Locale.
I'm very glad. I was going to do a link there to my penis, but I'm very glad I didn't do that because there's lots of innuendos there, like Monster Hunter Rise. There's bigger and deeper with massive expansion. So I'm really glad I didn't make that link. Anyway,
you kind of have made that. You didn't have to say anything about it.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, Ben, I have a look. There's no update on the climbing, but are you interested?
Yes, I am interested. I'm interested in going back to Monster Hunter. Like this, I have had like kind of the urge to go back, but I think I'd have to restart totally because, like I put in not a tremendous amount of time for Monster Hunter people. I think I put in about 40 hours, but people play Monster Hunter forever.
Yeah. 40 hours is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I'd need to start again even.
That's 80 Kirk games.
Mm. Yes, it's true. It's a lot of Kirk games.
That's very hurtful.
Sorry, Kirk.
That's eight. That's me playing Dead Space 80 times over.
God, imagine your review then.
Just the same part 80 times. No.
It's still not scary, but, guys. What is going on?
I reckon it was too scary. That's why.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, so Monster Hunter, yeah, I think this, I really want to get back into it, to be honest. I loved this game when it came out, and this is going to make it better. A lot of buzz around this update, so yeah, I wonder how good it looks on PC, because it's supposed to be very, very good. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right, nice one. Next one, another one for you, Ben. Outriders World Slayer update coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, June 30th. I'll just read the blurb because it kind of describes everything that's going to go on in it. With new horrors to challenge you and new weapons, mods, and gear to discover, you'll be further developing your builds through the new Pax Hybrid branch class trees. Survive the campaign and you'll face even greater horrors in the Trials of Taria Grata, the brand new endgame. One of it's Spanish there, I think. Which partnered the Ancestian Points offers a new long-term progression system for the most committed players. Finally, push hard through the new Apocalypse difficulty tiers, with each step up to level 40 increasing the chances of obtaining incredible Apocalypse gear and its game-changing third mod slot. Ben, that means nothing to me, all of that. But,
for our listeners, it was Ascension Points.
Can we just take a moment to say, I'm so glad we started bringing the blurbs in, because there's always one word that you know Eddie can say that he will mangle horrendously.
It's because the computer's far away. You know what? You could probably even hear when I'm coming up to a word I'm not quite sure, because you hear me leaning close to the mic, so it probably becomes more clear.
Yeah, you also start to slow down.
Accession.
Accession. Do you know why? It's because it's the first word of the next line, so I didn't have time to look across.
Right. But after that getting through Taria Grata really well, it was the fact that Ascension messed you up.
It's because it's on the same line, easy. Fuck's sake.
Outriders is on Game Pass. I wonder if this...
It's still on.
I think so. And I wonder if this this update is coming free to it. But I mean, my opinion on this game is that it is a much far superior Gears of War.
Gears of War, yes. You said this last
far,
week.
Far,
week
far superior Gears of War. That's my hot take. I mean, I'm laughing about it. I don't know.
Yeah. You stand by that, buddy.
I do stand by it. Outriders is a better Gears of War. So check it out, guys.
Cool. And the last game, I say last game, the second game.
The second.
is actually, I'm very glad Kirk's here for this one, because originally I was going to put Kirk, but I didn't think he was going to show up, so I've actually put something. F1, I was going to say, or Formula 1 then. F1 2022, coming out on PC, PlayStation, Xboxes, July 1st. Enter the new era of Formula 1 in EA Sports. Formula 1 22, the official video game of the 2022 FIA Formula 1 World Championship. What a shit blurb. So it looks like it's got... These are the bits that I've kind of highlighted. You can do My Team mode, which choose your starting budget as you create your Formula 1 team from the ground up with expanded department events and deeper livery customization. Shut up. Career mode. Test your driving talents in the world of Formula 1 and work your way through the grid in the acclaimed 10-year and 2-player career mode. And there's Formula 2, the ultimate training ground for Formula 1, is also included with short, medium or full season options, plus 21-22 season content. There's also split screen racing for 2 players, which for some reason in this day and age is quite rare. Kirk, what do you think? You're a racing guy.
I'm not an F1 guy, though. Never have been. Just doesn't appeal to me. But
too fast for you?
Yeah, too fast for me, Pete. Yeah, okay. too much skill involved. And
is it the fact that it's a track? Is that
no? Because I like the motorsport series and like Gran Turismo and that kind of thing. But no, it looks great. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it does. They all look good though, don't they?
They do. Always look good. Yeah. These are the one racing games that I am always interested in, and I I have far too many of them on my shelf, actually. F1 games.
If you've got you've got every single year one, haven't you?
I haven't got the last two, I don't think. And it's always because the career mode has never lived up, but I'm pretty sure their career modes are pretty good now.
It sounds like they've actually made an effort on it. The fact that they were like boasting about it is a great sign. Like, you know, the FIFA games, the career modes can be shite because it doesn't even... It says about, oh, you can move better with defenders, but it won't mention career mode. But this, it seems to be its like main selling point.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it. And that's always the interesting thing about these F1 games, because if they get the career mode right, they realise that a lot of people just want to play the career mode.
Yeah. I don't want to be rude, but like I like... Despite me taking the mick out of Kirk all the time, I do like the occasional racing game, but it has to have out-of-race mechanics that I enjoy, because else I just feel like I'm just driving a car round and round and round.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Mm. I think this is actually quite a big release. I think there are quite a few people looking out for this. And I think there's a buzz on it on Twitter. I know Mr. Llama Fluff, our friend of the show, he's pre-ordered it, I think.
He loves it, doesn't he? He loves these
pre-ordered it. I think there's a bit of buzz about this game.
Fair play. Well, I have led you astray as well, because it's one other game releasing this week. But the reason is I couldn't find any flipping information except that it's a 2D platformer, essentially. It's called Parasite Pack, and it's coming to all consoles.
Take my money.
Okay.
My pick of the week is going to be between the two, Galactic Junkers. Only because the mechanics look okay. I know I ripped it to shreds.
You ripped it.
I know
we
I ripped
so positive
it.
You hate racing games that much that you can't even give a win to
one.
We were so positive about F1.
Yeah. Because it's
but
just
he will never play it.
That's it's one of those that, like, I think F1 looks like a really good, like, put-together game, but I'll never play it because I know the mechanics and I don't find them interesting at all. While the complete opposite, the Galactic Junkers looks like a pile of shit because the fucking developer's gone like, I'm going to be a dickhead. But the mechanics are good.
Well, did they?
Yes.
That's exactly
what they did in the boardroom.
They had a board meeting,
Shall we make this for adults? No, I'm a dickhead. I'm going to make it look like some stupid people will want to play this.
Can just imagine it. They're plotting out on the whiteboard and there's thousands of scrolls and then there's just dickheads circled repeatedly.
There's just a Venn diagram of like dickheads. and space. Good.
Yep.
That's
space.
How we've gone with it. Oh, fantastic. My God, that was so short compared to last week's. That's
very, amazing. Yeah.
If you average out last week's to this week, fantastic.
Yeah, true. That does balance out the two of them. But last week's was like half the show. My God.
Oh, yeah. It was, last week's was too long. It's heavy. Yeah. That was, and I hold Eddie entirely responsible
for not culling
ones. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
But it was 2 weeks' worth. That's why it was so long.
Yeah, true. But cull more.
Yeah.
Cull more when we've got 2 weeks.
I'm tough to cull more.
That's your fault, Eddie.
Yeah, we blame you for that.
That's good. Anyway, don't complain when I now cull all of your shitty little Nintendo games from now on, Ben.
This is I see this is a massive win.
They're not bad games. Don't worry about it.
Terrible games.
And we're on to what we've been playing. So because Eddie's waited so patiently for it, I will go first and talk about Caplerth. Yeah, which I've owned pretty much since it was released a month ago on the 23rd of May, and finally got into it. So this is a 2D sandbox progression-style RPG that looks like a RimWorld clone, but plays a lot more like Terraria or even Valheim to a degree. And yeah, I picked it up, played maybe half an hour and put it down, and then I picked it up on Saturday and blinked, and 6 hours had gone past. and I did probably something like 2 or 3 hours on Sunday as well. So the moment you're into it, you just lose track of time. It's very addictive. It's got some very strong mechanics. I mean, the crafting is fantastic, obviously, in these games. That's one of the key things, crafting and building. And it is really good, although there's one sticking point with it, which I'll come back to later. You do follow the sort of standard progression, like wood, leather, what's it called? Copper, iron type style stuff. But it works really well, and there's enough options in it to keep you interested. And it is huge. It is like Valheim huge, if not bigger. Like, it's massive. And I'll go into why in particular, because there's like 20 underground levels as well. And as far as I can tell, they're the same size as the Surface.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely vast. I mean, procedurally generated, so obviously they have that advantage, but it is vast. Mm. And I've barely scratched the surface in 10 hours. Like, my map is mostly still completely blacked out. Mm. So one thing that does help is it's got good options to get around. You can have companion animals, which are also mounts. So that helps quite a lot compared to, say, Valheim, where it was a boat or nothing to begin with. Yeah. And you can tame the monsters, although I've very much not done that as yet. Because I'm just not interested in it. I like roaming around on my own so that everything doesn't die behind me. Dog meat has clearly given me some issues there from Fallout. but I don't like having companions in these type of games. But yeah, so I mean, I've beaten three of the bosses, nice. Which gets me down to 9 levels below the surface. And you're gated on progression, again, much like games like Valheim, by beating a boss, getting their particular item and unlocking. And you do progress through a storyline as well, although, to be honest, I've completely ignored it because I always do in these games. So I know very little about it except that the Man in Black, Eddie, very similar to the Rimworld Man in Black, yeah, kidnapped someone from where you wake up and you're meant to go and find them, but I have no interest. I don't care. I'll find her eventually, you know.
Didn't you find that in... I know this is really bad. In Fallout 4, like, your kid gets kidnapped. I didn't give a fuck. I think because they didn't build it up enough, but I did not... Yeah. Not one part of my brain went, oh, you better look for your kid.
Yeah, well, that was it as well. It was like you had this family unit in Fallout 4 established for like 20 seconds, and then your wife's dead and your child's gone, assuming you played the bloke. So it's like, well, I basically didn't have a family, so just crack on. I'm single
Holy
again.
Holy shit, does it work in reverse if you're the woman? I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's the opposite way around.
Did you play the woman in Fallout 4?
No, I played the man.
Oh, that's not like you.
No,
I know. You go against everything I believe in.
God, yeah, very odd. Play that now. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
So yeah, I believe there are 6 bosses, so I'm probably halfway through the actual progression, but I'm stopping now to get into the base building, and this is really good fun. It's like single-handedly building a Rimworld base, Eddie, with only yourself to do it. Nice. Which is really enjoyable. It's also got a lot of the farming stuff that would fit for people like Ben and Stardew Valley fans, you know, that group would enjoy it as well. And the key for me so far really has been, well, it's just more like, it's more of Valheim, but it looks like Rimworld, and it's got better music than both.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, so that's been really hooking me in. And again, it does just delete your time. Like, the moment you pick this up, and I think it's like £7 at the moment on the Steam sale.
Wow.
You just, time is just gone. So I can definitely recommend it. The only reservation I have is that so much of it is underground. Like, Valheim, Ben, was great because you roamed different biomes on the surface, didn't you? And they were very different, which was really good. This one, the surface is all much of a muchness from what I've seen. There's some interesting stuff, but you don't get anything new from finding a desert, except that you can make some sand into glass and that sort of stuff.
But in a Rimworld type style, how do the environments look?
I actually really, I mean, it's pretty obvious which bits are meadows and which bits are deserts and stuff, if that's what you're asking. But no, it works pretty well. It's just, you do spend an awful lot of time underground. Like, an awful lot of time underground.
I've got a question with your base building and whatnot. Is there obvious reason to do it? And let me kind of put some background to this question. I like games where obviously you build a base. We all know that, but I get really really bored if there's no point and it's only kind of you're doing it for reasons. You know, like you're farming and stuff. Is there a reason for it? Is it so that you can blend things and get potions or what?
So there's a few bits. So there's ingredients for food. And food has multiple effects, much like it does in Terraria and Valheim. So it's not just feeding you.
Yes.
But it's also your best way of making money. And the other thing that made me do it is you can rescue survivors and they will then come and live at your base.
Oh, fucking hell.
And they are also an incredible form of income. So I've essentially set up a day spa as my base. I've got like these two hot springs in the middle of it, which just boost people's happiness through the roof. And when they hit a certain level of happiness, they pay you. So it's a really good way of earning money, and it's also a really good way of getting mats, like materials for everything. So
why do you earn money? Is there things you could trade for and stuff?
Well, my experience with the first, this will give you an idea. The first two bosses I beat pretty easily, just using the stuff you find.
Right.
The third one, I mean, I still haven't died in this game because I put it slightly easier than I should have done, I think, on setup.
Right.
But the third boss, I literally had to run away from, like, while protecting my border collie, which was when I decided I didn't want companions with me anymore. I had to flee from this gigantic alien queen creature with 30 odd ads with a border collie, like, come on, you bastard, come with me, like, get out of it, as it got shot by everything aiming for me. So, yeah, you then realize you need to gear the hell up
right
for those bosses. And the easiest way to do that is to find human villages, which obviously you can trade with, and buy better gear there, and then upgrade it and then go after it. So that's worked really well. And you do find there's a lab you can teleport to from the very beginning of the game, which is... The guy there gives you the same exit as RimWorld Eddie. He's making a ship to get off the planet.
Wow.
So, like, I mean, if you help him out, you can get out.
The art style's already completely ripped from RimWorld.
Honestly, I think this game is kind of a homage to Terraria and RimWorld.
Yeah.
I don't think they're hiding from it. I think they're saying we wanted to do our own thing in a very similar style.
Exactly.
So that you can escape the planet on my ship if you help me build it was just like, oh, okay, right, yeah. But he also sells random selections of rare gear. So it's always worth having cash to go back and visit him.
Yeah.
I think he's called Ship, but I'm not sure if he's actually called Ship for everyone, but that would make sense.
Ship?
With a S-C-H. Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. But yeah, the only real thing with me is I think once you put this game down, you probably forget about it for 6 months.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably is one that a playthrough consumes you and then you just stop. But that's no bad thing.
Okay, how about this? Like RimWorld, I do exactly that, but then I go back. Do you think this game has that kind of, I want to play it again?
Yes, massively. Especially because your starting area can change hugely. The other thing to keep in mind, Eddie, is you get raids on your base.
Oh my fucking God.
From
sounds fantastic.
Whichever enemy you're up to the level of. So when you're on the surface, it's like mutant creature things.
Right.
And then when you go lower down, I think goblins is the first one. And then I've got to these insectoid alien type creatures,
right.
Which are really annoying. And they give you a warning when they're coming towards you. And then they set up a base near yours if you leave them long enough.
Oh, cool.
And then they'll start ambushing the people who live at your base, ambushing you around your base if you don't get rid of that base.
Holy shit.
That's so cool. That's been quite a lot of fun. Although, admittedly, when I had geared up for the next level down but not got rid of it, the goblins just got really annoying because you were just annihilating them. But they kept coming back and it'd just be like, will you just stop? You're just getting yourselves killed here.
So Eddie, are you finally going to play this game this week?
I'm not, but don't get me wrong, Peter's completely sold it. Like, there are so many things that I didn't even know about that have been my dream thing, but it's because I've got some good games lined up. So, but don't get me wrong, as soon as I have a lull again, my God, this is going to be.
I should add one more thing, by the way. Beyond your gear and the building, you also have a thing called gene editing, basically allows you to alter your character's bonuses and boosts and everything else, and you research them at different points through the game.
Holy
so
shit.
You can essentially have a completely different build each time around. So this one, I've gone for something called Ion Skin, and it basically gives me like an extra set of armor. But you can completely gear in different ways to go for like bonus damages or health regeneration or all sorts of different styles to it.
Right. Yeah.
And you can also, there's like two grids in the gene editing. One of them is your physical attributes and one of them is knowledge. And that one, I think I've only got like two things from knowledge, which probably means I'm not playing the game the right way. But I've got all the violent options, none of the knowledge. And that allows you to edit all the stuff you know and sort of like how quickly you can build or learn things, that sort of stuff. So yeah, that is a really interesting mechanic to add in. And I've really enjoyed that. And you can clone yourself as well, I believe. But I haven't done this yet.
So this is £8 of the Steam sales?
I think so.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It sounds like
fantastic.
It could be my game of the year.
I would hugely recommend this for you, Eddie, and it could easily be in the conversation for me.
Yeah.
Cool.
If it holds me a bit longer, it could easily be in the conversation.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'll go on next then, because I have a game even greater called Fallout 76.
You've gone back.
I've gone back.
I'm sure you said you were never going to go back.
Never going to go back. Do you know what it is, actually? It was because I rewatched the trailer to Starfield. that we saw on the Xbox show thing. And you know what? Like, I fucking loved that trailer. Like, everything that I wanted is in that game by the looks of it. So I kind of played this because I went, I want to go back. I'm not going to play Fallout 4 again. And Skyrim's a bit old. And I was like, you know what? Just play 76, you know, because you deserve to give them the credit. I played this when it first came out, but I only played it for, like, barely anything. Like, I reckon 5 hours before I got infuriated and never touched it again.
I was just going to say, I also reinstalled Skyrim because of that Starfield trick. So I understand where you're coming from. I just did just go, I want some Bethesda.
Exactly. And this was my Bethesda. Yeah. But that was a regrettable decision. So the what I've put here is everything I love about Bethesda games have been shat on, which is quite good because it auto corrected it to shart on. So I guess that's the same thing.
Shart's a real thing.
Yes, yeah, there you go. This game is, I would say, the biggest travesty to gaming ever. It is an absolute dumpster fire. Don't get me wrong, I forced myself. I reckon I've probably played 10 to 20 hours worth. I've played quite a bit. I forced myself to play it because I thought, well, maybe you might find something else interesting and maybe you might get up a level and then you might find something cool to unlock. But my fucking Christ, it's been hell on earth. Let's get the biggest thing about Bethesda game, the story and the missions you get to go on. All of them are so uninteresting. Like, there's no point to them. There's no thing that kind of reels you in. The voice acting's terrible. Don't get me wrong, I last played this when there were no NPCs in it. But now there's NPCs in it, and they are just so badly done. Like, no one you want to talk to.
that sucks.
Yeah. There's no point to it. Absolutely no point. Immersion. Immersion is everything to me in a game. And this has zero immersion juice. It is fucking Sahara Desert.
Dry to the bone.
It's honestly, the floor is cracking. It's terrible. There's so many things that are wrong with it. So let's put it this way. I came out the vault and I was like, oh, sweet. I've come out in this vault and it's bright and, oh, this looks nice. Oh, I see people down there. Oh, maybe they're NPCs, maybe. And then someone comes up to me, sprints up to me and starts dancing in my face, waving, like putting his arse in my face with a different emotion. And then it was like, he's asked you to join party. And I was like, what the fuck is this? These Fallout games, like Fallout, all of them have been great at storytelling. They're gritty, they're dark. Some bits are even scary. It's all about like making you feel like you're in the wasteland and you could die at any second. And I've got this fucking twat with an old-timey scuba diver helmet, you know, those big fucking things, dancing in front of me. And it's just fucking tragic. They've got the base building in it, which obviously I love from 4, but you can just move your base. You can move it. You can move your whole entire base. You can build a mansion with crafting tables, and then you can walk to the other side of the map. And, you know, how about this for immersion? The one thing in the Fallout games, how many times have you built up your backpack and you've gone, I can't carry anymore. I need to make a decision. Do I leave this legendary weapon behind? Do I just chuck loads of junk on the floor? So therefore I might not be able to build up that thing at base. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You just open up the menu, press X, and there you go. Your brand new base is right next to you with your bed, with everything. So, why not just pick out your meds from your base and heal up? All of it is absolutely pointless. Like every time I filled up with junk, base, move, put all that in there. Oh, I need healing, base, meds, done. Oh, I tell you what, I could craft a weapon now because I haven't got any ammo left on the other one. Base, craft. It's absolute joke. There's no point to it. The combat, There's no difficulty setting.
Yeah.
There is no difficulty setting in this game.
Yeah.
There is no difficulty setting in this game. It is so fucking easy that there's no point. I ran into this, like, fairground, and I was getting shot by... The ghoul people actually can use guns in this game, which I never knew. I didn't even get that far last time before getting too angry. And they just... There's about 20 of them shooting at me. I was like, fuck me, I must be close to death. Looked at my health. It's just fine. I just stood there. I stood there, reloaded my weapon, just shot each one individually. Because there's no fucking point. after about... I remember I've been playing it for a long time, and I still cannot get any mods on my weapons. But it's okay, because some little twat came up to me and dropped me loads of legendary weapons. So I sold them on the market, and I had unlimited amount of money, basically. a lot of these problems in this game that I thought to myself, you know, you're hating this, but maybe if you just get a private server so all these twats can leave you alone and stop giving you stuff or dancing or helping you out with missions or killing baddies that I really wanted to kill myself. But you have to pay for a private server. Do you know that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
You don't have it free. Okay. You have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did this game come out?
2018.
Okay.
Mm. How about this then, Kirk? It came out in 2018. There's glitches galore in it.
There it's a Bethesda game. Of course it is.
There are glitches all over the place. The amount of times my house has just disappeared is fucking unreal. It's fuzzy. It looks shit. I just get random noises now and again.
Look, sure, it's not just you farting in the background or something.
Well, it probably is. That does scare me when I play games. But
sharting.
Thank you. Sharting.
Very good.
Yeah. It's a terrible, terrible game. But what upsets me more than the fact that it's just absolute dog shit is the fact that Bethesda massively went against its core values in Fallout games. They went away from... You know what I think? I think it was around the time where these online games were picking up massively, and Bethesda went, oh, I reckon all the money's in, you know, the dancing around and then the motions, or maybe you can buy some funny sunglasses and give us real money for it. And they've just gone down that route. And it's fucking despicable. That's all I've got to say.
The only thing it does flag for me is, are there roleplay servers?
What do you mean?
Like specific dedicated servers for role players? Because that might help with the immersion.
I don't think so. Yeah. On the options that I got was just one, and that was, you know, online. And the other options all said, like, I think there was like four other options that all paid. So I didn't even look.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, if I paid for the private server, at least it would have got rid of people, and it would have got rid of like the pop-ups all the time. It's just not a Fallout game. It's a childish little, I don't know, online multiplayer game.
Have you seen that meme where it's like, it shows a game at launch and it's got like 10 people in military outfits, and then it says 6 months later and it's got them all dressed as clowns.
Yeah,
and scuba diving outfits.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
this game, through and through.
Yeah. Good. Glorious. I guess you'll be playing that till next week.
Well, actually, spoiler, I've actually picked up since Total War 3 Kingdoms came out on Game Pass. I've been playing that. Pete, I know you've played that.
Fantastic game.
Don't get me wrong, I forced myself to shit to play this Fallout game, but I've been playing this on the side as well, and I'm fucking loving it, so I'll talk to you all about it next week.
Lovely. I look forward to that. Awesome.
Good stuff. Well, I have been playing a new game, and spoilers, it's very good.
I've just
spoiled my review. Fire Emblem Three Hopes on the Switch. So this game is actually set in a parallel universe, and it's not a prequel or a sequel to Three Houses.
Nice.
Which
okay.
I didn't know. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a sequel to Three Houses, but it wasn't. So I hadn't, like, I wasn't going to get this game, but then I watched a review and I was like, okay, this could be absolutely perfect. It's got all the good mechanics of Fire Emblem, but actually in an action kind of RPG setting or action kind of role-playing game setting. Fantastic. That seems like it was a bit of me. And this is the classic kind of Dynasty Warriors type game, with that in the hybrid kind of Fire Emblem realm, like they've done with the recent Breath of the Wild Zelda spin-off as well. and what they like to do with a few games where they do these spin-offs. And there was a previous Fire Emblem Warriors game, which I never really got into. But this, because it was a direct kind of spin-off from the previous Fire Emblem game, Three Houses, which I really, really loved, and is arguably the best game on the Switch, I thought I'd dip in. And it does start very similarly. You are a mercenary, and it's got the same process as in Three Houses, where you choose to be part of one of the three houses, and then the story that happens in the game is bespoke to that house, which I think is just brilliant. It gives such replayability to these games. And I thought I would choose, because you get to choose between the Alliance, the Empire, and I think it's with Dimitri at Fargus. I don't really know what their title is, but there's three houses, but I was going to pick the Empire this time. The Empire are kind of like the bad guys kind of thing, but I'm sure if you played as them, they're not. But when I was picking my house, like, I had to pick the guys that I was in Three Houses, because it's like, it's amazing, because the people that are in that house, they're all the characters, it's like Hogwarts. And it's like picking a house at Hogwarts, and you're like, oh, I like all the people in that house, I know them, like, well, you've read the books or the films or whatever, and you know those people, and you're like, oh no, I had to be my guy Claude. So I picked the same people, fantastic, and I'd like to say it's really surprised me, but I said to you, Pete, before I started this, I was like, I'm buzzing to play this game because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah, well, you were both convincing yourself and buzzing.
it was twofold, because I can't remember the last time I've gone into a game and really wanted to play it. I think it was Elden Ring, where I knew I was going to love it because I went in with the, I'm going to love this. But most of the time when I'm playing games, it's because it's my hobby, so I like to play basically everything, and I go through the motions a bit. But this, I was really excited about because I wasn't planning on getting it. But the presentation is absolutely fucking immaculate. The voice acting, there's voice acting of virtually everything in the game, which is a massive plus for me. Like, you have to read very little. everything is voice acted. The characters are excellent. It's the same voice actors as in Three Houses. And there are loads of cutscenes and an excellent use of the world map to present the war, to let you know what's going on. Like, there's a narrator who gives a summary of how the war's progressing at each different point. Absolutely brilliant. Not overworked at all so far. Like, this is just the level I like. Between kind of the mindless fighting through to the leveling in between, and then the story stuff. So the combat is very Dynasty Warriors. It's a bit mindless, but really quite fun so far. I'm sure that will start to drag as you get towards like a 40-hour mark or something, but at the moment it's entertaining in terms of learning it. And every time you get a level up or you get something going on, it's that little dopamine hit of something else going on. Your character's leveled up, that character's leveled up. You can change between characters as well. You can fight a bit with another character to make sure that they're using their special abilities to level them up and stuff like that. Switch back. Very quite intricate. But the game itself, mechanically, systems on systems, and it is like with Three Houses, where it seems a little bit overwhelming at first, how much is going on. You've got combat systems, you've got strategic systems, you've got the leveling up of your characters, you've got the character class systems. It's just, there is a hell of a lot going on. The bonds between characters, it's just quite in depth, and I think it's actually more than I remember in Three Houses. But I think if you've played Three Houses, you've definitely got an advantage because you know what's going on with some of those systems. For instance, passing exams to change character class and things like that. Like, if you've played the other game, you'll know it's in this game. And I also think that probably applies to if you've played a Dynasty Warriors game before, you probably know what to expect as well. So, yeah. But just so many systems. Same things as in Three Houses with all the bonds and exams, like I said, and everything like that. But yeah, it just seems more in depth. And permadeath starts after chapter 4, which is nice because it gives you time to get used to the game. One of the things that I realized immediately when I started this game was that one of the people who I got killed off in When I Paid Three Houses is obviously back in your team because it's a parallel universe.
Of course, yeah.
Whatever, and it's just like, oh, there she is. She died very early on. But yeah, the permadeath starts in chapter 4 of 17. So it gives you a nice period of time to get good. And also they've got this nice little mechanic that you can level up other people in your team up to the point that your main character is at, or your best character, by just paying gold. So it doesn't mean that you're in this situation where you're like, ah, oh, I haven't paid attention to these characters over here and they're really underleveled. You can kind of like push them up. So that is also a very kind of welcome mechanic. But I think I'm playing this quite slowly because I am mid chapter 2 and I've spent 6 hours in this game.
Oh, wow.
So I think it might pick up the pace a little bit. But yeah, my game time is 6 hours and I don't feel like I've taken it slow. Like in terms of completing the missions, I've done them all in S or A rank timing. It's just that I think I'm just taking my time with it. But yeah, it's in between the actual fights, it is quite a leisurely game. It's got that leisurely Fire Emblem feel to it, where you're going around your camp and like upgrading stuff and speaking to people. It's really, really good. And this is a very welcome game, considering the absolute clusterfuck that Mario Strikers was last week. Which I have played the ranked online mode now, and it's absolutely fucking wank. And the game's dead. Dead game. So this is, yeah, I'm so pleased with this so far. I think it's really, really good. It's exactly what I needed, because I've been in a bit of this limbo state with games of late, and I've needed a time sync game, one that I reckon is going to take me between 20, 40 hours, something like that. This could be it. So I'll probably be talking about it next week, because I can't wait to play. It's been so long since I can't wait to get back to the game. Yeah. After this pod, I'm just going to be playing that game. Fantastic.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, good option. Yeah. Very good option. Nice. Nice.
There's something else that you've been playing as well, isn't there, Ben?
That was bad.
Well, yeah, but I was leaving that for you.
Okay, okay.
Sure.
I thought you were going to kind of... Yeah, I mean, you just fucking went dead silent.
I wasn't gonna segue you. I mean, we left it. So there were literal seconds.
There were, between
me stopping and you stopping.
But then,
like, not only was there several seconds, you then shuffle past it back to me.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's doing something else in the background.
Yeah,
it's like he's framing back, or something.
I am making a frame. Yeah. No, I've been playing some Fall Guys, as of you, haven't you, Ben? And I mean, I'd always liked the look of this when it first came out. I just thought it would be a bit of mindless fun, which it is, but I'm quite competitive with it. And the gameplay loop for this is incredibly addictive in the sense of, Eddie, you know when we're like, oh, just one more game of Rocket League?
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing that with this game now.
Yeah, I know. It is like that, isn't it?
I'm like, oh, you fucker. And because, like, you might get knocked out in the first round every now and then because you just had some bad luck or something, because it is skill-based, but it's also luck. Like, anything can fucking happen. You might get knocked over by one of the other little bean-looking characters, and then the physics of everything, or you might get hit by a projectile snowball or something, and you go flying and all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those games that really, really give you frustrated vibes, or feel like you're on top of the world. And I actually played a game at lunch earlier whilst I was obviously having a break, and I played two games, and I got to the final on one of them, and I shit you not, I almost touched the crown, but I fell just literally millimeters away from it, and then some other fucker jumped over me and got it, and I was like, no, because I haven't won a game yet. So I'm just like,
I think
so infuriating.
Just for anybody who doesn't know what Fall Guys is, it's a battle royale, but it's not like a shooter or anything. It's like a battle royale of four mini games, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's like Takeshi's Castle.
It's like Takeshi's Castle, yeah, where you control something which is, I mean, the controls are much better than I thought, but look like they'd be quite awkward.
They're really weighty, aren't they, the characters?
Yeah, you can basically just jump, you can grab, or you can dive. They're your three kind of things you can do with your little mini character. And you're against 60 other people, and in each round, people get knocked out. So usually the first round will be like this assault course race. And then it might have another one or something. Then there's like more intricate kind of different mini games. And then the final one will either be a race to this thing called a crown, which Kirk talked about, which is basically just the thing that you win if you win a whole game of Fall Guys. Or if you're the last man standing at the end, then or last person standing, rather, then whatever they are.
the mechanics on this game are incredibly intricate at times. And precision timing is key on a lot of it. Like, in the early stages, you can probably just fly by. And Eddie, have you touched this yet?
I haven't, but I think it's for a good reason, because I've got enough of these games. Like right now at lunchtime, I go golf for about 10 minutes, then Rocket League, then PUBG, and then my main game that I'm playing. So I can't have a fucking fourth game in there.
How long is your fucking lunch?
That's most of it.
I know you're the slowest eater in the world. Literally, it's for our listeners. It's fucking horrible to eat.
It's insane.
It's insane. Yeah. You must take 2 hours on your lunch.
I eat in game.
Okay. But I mean, you could start having lunch with Eddie and still be going on at dinner. Like, you would have to order your dinner while he's still finishing lunch.
That's true.
Well, if it makes you feel better, makes you feel better, Kurt, I've won a game. I also came second. And I haven't played that many games. I think it's I find it quite easy, but I know everything could go wrong.
You've been in shit lobbies, mate. You know the races.
Like, I don't know how you finish a race and you've got to wait like 5 minutes for other people to finish.
Yeah, some people are really terrible at those, aren't they? Like the seesaw level as well. That's another one where you usually wait in a long time. One thing I did, for listeners, I sent this to you guys and I put it on Twitter as well, but fucking some of the things, if you try to be a like dodgy cock ass, like where you can grab the other characters and try and push them off of the edge.
A dodgy cocky ass,
I forgot the E in the end of cock. No,
stick to your guns, Kurt.
Yeah, I was trying to be a dodgy cock ass, right? And I basically grabbed one of the other characters, and he was right next to at the edge of a platform, and it was like, I'd only played a few games by this point, but the way the physics work is when your character lets go of it, like, you kind of get a rebound off of that character, but it can go either way. You can either go in a direction that you were pushing them, or you might get pushed back. But I ended up going a bit sideways, and then I fell down the hole that I tried to push the character down. So I lost.
Yeah.
I was in the penultimate round on that one as well. So
those last ones are quite a bit... Those last rounds are a bit potluck, aren't they?
Yeah, like, they are.
The first ones, you think, I'm going to get through these easy. But then the latter ones can be a little... Things can go wrong fast.
How long... If you're to win, how long would a game take?
15 minutes.
That's shorter than I thought. Okay,
it's really like I'm playing it at the moment before I go to bed, just to rewind, like a little, like to wind down.
I was gonna say rewind. What are you going back in the day?
Just to rewind.
That's what Ben does during the day.
just to increase people. My stress levels. like after I've played Fire Emblem or whatever, I'll just play half an hour of that before going to bed, especially if you get knocked out in like the second or third round. I've got to get through to a last round. Come on.
Epic bought them, didn't they? Which is what they did with Rocket League as well. And obviously they've now made it free to play on all platforms. And with like Rocket League, it's the greatest thing that they could have done, because it brings in a whole new audience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they sell off their microtransactions. This is a game that I will not spend any money on. It's just one of those things that I just want to play, because everything is purely cosmetic. Like it is in Rocket League, but that's a bit cooler. It's just a fun game to play. I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I do. But it's just really competitive for me.
Yeah. I don't know I think the longevity must be in the continued seasons, because they have had quite a few seasons. I can't imagine it having too much longevity if they just stuck with this season for a while. But we'll see, though, because it's all right for like 20, 30 minutes. It's free to play, especially on the Switch. It's fucking wonderful. Well,
it's actually called Free For All, isn't it? Which they've called it now. Like, it's quite clever marketing that they've done there. So, but yeah, no, it's Eddie. If you do like just want to like dibble your toe in,
I don't want Eddie to play it because he'll call it shit.
No, he won't. I think he'll really like it.
I think I'll really like it. Yeah,
no, it might be bright and colourful,
but he'll keep playing.
Yeah, yeah, but but
it is good shit. It's exactly. Good shit. It's like the Phil Neville of video games.
So yeah, it's a guilty pleasure.
Niche, but okay.
To our American listeners, that was a very bad footballer, but he could play in all positions. So
yeah. I'd have him in my team.
But, in your squad. In your
but
squad.
I couldn't have 11
yeah,
of him.
Squad, not team, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't have 11 of him, but I'd have him in my 11.
You wouldn't have him in your 11. He didn't make Manchester United's 11.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we sold him to
it's like a John O'Shea for another time. Anyway.
Fuck's sake. Let's do an American reference, shall we?
Did you sound a bit Irish then?
I'm just trying to think of a...
Yeah, same. He's like...
He's a punter on an
Brett
NFL
Hull
team.
Of ice hockey. There you go. Enjoy that one. Yeah.
Yeah. RG3 was good and then shit, right?
I don't think that's the same.
It's not the same, yeah.
who's the guy that the really annoying quarterback, the one that's always talking about Jesus?
Tim Tebow.
That's
yeah,
it.
Tim Tebow.
He's the
yeah,
Tebow.
Tebow. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, Tim
guys,
Tebow.
Guys, can we move it on? All right, we're getting. I think we're talking a lot about American sports right now. Yeah.
If I wasn't coughing my lungs out in the background, I would have moved us on already. But unfortunately, that happened, so I just
had
to leave you guys.
Mute on the mic then
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
like, just, like,
yeah. Ben's going to love the clicky noise of me turning my mic onto mute as well because it's like three or four times in there.
No, he's already sent a message. Yeah.
You've got a few texts waiting for you, Pete, when you find your phone.
Well, yeah, when I'm allowed to get to my phone, I'll respond, Ben, but until then, I can't really do much. Anyway, it is time for the feature. Cool. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this is all about what game franchise we want to reboot. So, obviously, for context, we have the world right now where there are reboots and remakes for pretty much everything. Yeah. Mostly heavily leaning on our nostalgia and the IP that was sort of our generation's coming-of-age games. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at Final Fantasy VII as a great example, but Dead Space, Resident
Evil.
That is
a good example, yeah.
There's so many of these coming back. And it does just mean that I think we've got an opportunity here to go, like, what would we actually want to see if we had a choice? So, I mean, I'm shocked to see that everyone brought two when the option was given for one or two, but nicely done, guys.
Oh, I think it's because you put... No, I saw Ben's and then I saw yours and you both put two. So I was like, oh, I can't be that guy.
Yeah,
that does
I thought
one.
That as well. I was just getting ripped for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, your behaviour enforced by an example.
Yeah, Christ.
What else would
is...
get a message from Ben?
Yeah, fair. I've got to remember
Come
that.
On, guys.
I've got to remember that.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Gives a really good impression of you, Ben, on this. I like it.
But yeah, I can tell the difference, Pete.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm still expecting one because I forgot to mention him streaming The Quarry on Thursdays at the beginning as well. So.
Christ. What a mistake.
I know, classic. That will be a text, that maybe even an email if it's gone that far. But on the topic. Yeah, so to give an example, the two I've brought here, and we did sort of go with either individual games or series. And my options are Heroes of Might and Magic.
Nice.
Or as it's now branded, Might and Magic Heroes, because Ubisoft. No, I mean, these were amazing games. The third one in particular is obviously a game myself and Eddie both love.
Yeah,
but awesome. Even the fourth one is good as well, and I know one and two were well regarded in their time. And then Ubisoft got its hands on it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it's easily trackable on... Just look at Steam reviews for these games. It literally goes from overwhelmingly positive, crosses into their ownership, and drops to mixed. Like, instantly. And I read a review for the seventh game, the most recent one, which was 7 years ago, 2015 anyway, where someone said, oh, it still scratches the itch. And it's like, no, I played that. It doesn't. It does absolutely nothing for you. It doesn't conjure any
it doesn't
kind
scratch
of nostalgia.
The itch. It creates more itches.
Yeah, it just makes you feel worse about it. You know what I mean?
That sounds really wrong.
Yeah. There's no immersion juice to soothe your itches.
Yeah,
in.
Nice. Yeah.
But no, and it's... These were really good games that wouldn't even need a huge amount of work to make them good, in my opinion, in a reboot. you know, just add a few more updated mechanics and some quality of life stuff, and I'd be a happy man. You don't even need to go 3D. And I'd still love it. And then the second one I brought is older, very old. It's Vagrant Story.
Oh, classic. Absolutely classic.
Yeah, and I mean, for those who weren't aware, this is... I mean, it was around the same time as Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, wasn't it? And it's
Yes, almost a precursor to... It's Final Fantasy Tactics, made by the same people who made Final Fantasy Tactics, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, so... It,
year 2000, anyway. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
This is a 22-year-old game, but insanely deep and challenging combat. A customization system that honestly goes beyond almost anything we see these days. It was mad. And it was so bloody hard, this game, that if you didn't learn both of those things incredibly well, you couldn't get through random mobs, let alone the bosses. Half the time, the mobs were harder than the bosses, but still.
And it offered up no assistance, really.
None at all.
In working out a lot of its mechanics.
God, when you got it right, the chain combat system was so good. And if you got it right, it was so rewarding and so much
fun. The chain combat system is so memorable from that game as well. Yeah, and also, like, this being, like I said to you before, like, the fact, like, the targeting of parts of enemies and stuff like that, like, it's very... You know, before Fallout 3 kind of was doing that with its little system and stuff like that. It's like, okay, these games, this game was so ahead of its time in just the general mechanics it was using.
Yeah.
If a bit clunky.
Oh, but, yeah, I mean, hugely clunky. But my God, it wouldn't have to be now.
But that's the key. Problem with this as a reboot, the problem with this as a reboot is that it's so niche and now we're 22 years on.
It sold almost 1 million copies, Ben. It's not that niche.
1 million copies 22 years ago is quite impressive.
Yeah. It's on Sony's greatest hits at the time. Like, what was that?
I think it's actually more impressive than I thought. As I said, I had this game, but I had it on a chipped PlayStation. I never actually had the original version of this game because I didn't know it existed. But when I got it chipped, obviously, then get every game in the world.
Of course.
Yeah. As a child, you're just then fucking copying everything. And this game just... Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're a child. You can't break the law when you're a child, kid.
Of course you can.
What? No, absolutely not. So, yeah, I had this game. This game just... Yeah, this game really took me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Absolutely insane. Yeah.
So good. So those are my two options. Child. Those are my two options.
All right, I'm going next. There's a bit of a lull. Yeah. I've got two nice simple ones. My first one is Worms.
Great choice.
Got games.
Yeah, great choice.
They are great games. Great games. Like, back in the day, how much fun did you enjoy just playing with your... Is it four characters you used to get? I think it was about that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's little voices, wasn't it? Like, kamikaze!
Yeah, all that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've looked it up, and there are games still coming out. The last game that came out in 2020 is called Rumble, but it looks like it's like a real time. It looks ridiculous, like all the backgrounds all moving to interject.
Yeah, I think it got bad reviews.
I'm not fucking surprised, because Worms was such a good game, and I think Worms Armageddon was still good. And then it looks like they've completely gone off of the fucking rails. But I want the same concept back. I want, you know, your four characters, you're picking up different weapons. But I want, in the reboot, I don't care if it's the same graphics. I don't care if it's still 2D. All that can be the same. I want, like, an out-of-game mechanic where you build up your squad. Maybe you build up your weapons. Maybe even a bit of a story mode. I don't know.
Very nice.
But yeah, as long as Worms comes back, I'll be happy. It'll be such a good... We were literally just talking about it. A nice casual game. You just jump on, you have one match, maybe do a bit to your Worms, and then move on. Lovely.
You know, I am shocked that there's not a similar indie to this. Like, because, you're right. Rumble's gone way too 3D and weird with it.
Yeah.
I am shocked. Like, considering how many 2D platformers we see coming out from indie studios, I'm surprised there's not something similar to Worms.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
great game, great choice.
Absolutely. And the other one, a bit boring, but I miss it dearly. It's Pro Evo Soccer. Obviously, the old football game. I used to love this game. I never used to touch FIFA. Even when I've bought the recent FIFAs, I still do not enjoy the mechanics of if you shoot, you know it's going to go in. Same with the saves. You see the saves. Same with the through balls. If you do a through ball, you can tell who's got it within a millisecond. I liked the mechanics of the Pro Evo games back in the day where every shot could have gone anywhere. Every chip could have gone over. Every through ball could have gone everywhere. Everything was exciting because of that exact reason. So I want that. I want a reboot of the whole game. I think now's the perfect time with all the FIFA up in the air and whatnot.
Yeah, but but you, I respect that the fact you're just ignoring the eFootball. Exists.
Yeah. Because that's
a good reason. I respect that.
That was absolute dumpster fire. Like that was the complete. That wasn't Pro Evo at all. It launched with like fucking
two teams.
Was it that many? There was no mode, wasn't there? Was there just like you could play?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're just like.
I did install it, didn't I? I talked about it on the podcast.
But I still think it had more game modes than Mario Strikers.
Nice that you had to dig them again before the end of the podcast. I like that. I want a Pro Evo back with exact same mechanics. I want the licenses and I want a single player game like they used to have. I remember the
Master League. Mode. Master League.
Yeah, Master League. That's it. Bloody hell!
Fantastic.
I want that back, maybe even steal some ideas from FIFA's thing, but for fuck's sake, don't make it like FIFA, because that's an absolute shit show.
Yeah. I did always prefer I always felt that Pro Evo was for football connoisseurs.
Yes.
And like, you threw balls and everything. Everything was more purposeful, so wasn't it? Everything was like, when you actually did something, you're like, yeah, I've done that on purpose.
Yes.
Like, everything is, whereas FIFA always seemed a little bit more scripted.
The biggest joke with the FIFA games, it all came so obvious when you crossed. If you cross in a FIFA game, you can tell straight away that you're going to win a header or if you're going to lose a header. There's no, like, Pro Evo, it's literally like you quickly move your character in a certain direction. Like, it's all predetermined in FIFA, while Pro Evo did not feel that way. So, there's sometimes in Pro Evo, if you thought you were going to get the header, you kind of move the stick up too high and you actually fucking miss it. You know, it was a great game. I used to love that stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck, hours I put into Pro Evo, I think it would knock the shit out of RimWorld.
Oh, that dual wielding Pro Evo and Football Manager.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely, Ben. Yeah, I used to do that.
Well, that that segues onto my two.
It does.
The first one we'll talk about. I think Football Manager needs a reboot. And the reason I say that, and this will never happen because it sells like hotcakes or whatever, is because there is no. I think Football Manager doesn't have personality anymore. And for veterans of the playing the game like myself, I'm now at the stage where I'm not inclined to play any more of the game. Like, it's every year is the same. I know how to play the game. Everything. There's no personality to winning anything. There's no, nothing means anything. Nothing happens even on screen. They don't even need to do much just to make it feel a bit more meaningful. It's like you're playing a shooting game, but there doesn't feel like any impact on your gun. That's how I feel with Football Manager at the moment. And I know, Eddie, you play a shit ton of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you kind of feel about that kind of sentiment on it. But for me, it's just a little bit flat at the moment.
So what do you want? What do you want in it then, Ben?
What I want is like a bit more fanfare around things. Like, you know, like the Champions League final, even the World Cup. Nothing really happens. Yeah. Like, there might be a little background change. There's nothing happens. The biggest thing that they ever did was put confetti on the pitch when you win. Like, it's just like there's no meaning to it. Nothing holds on. Like, you win something and then everyone forgets about stuff. It's just, there's nothing. I don't know. Like, they need to, I reckon if you sat around a table and if we sat around the table and really thought about this, I think we'd have killer ideas that would actually bring this, make it something meaningful. But it sells like hotcakes and it is the best football manager sim up there.
Maybe including a mechanic that's like fame. Now hear me out. To get fame, you maybe like, if you win a certain thing, you get brought to do speeches at award ceremonies or whatever. But that fame mechanic actually contributes to signing players. So, for example, just like in real life, a player will come, like Haaland recently said he wanted to play under Pep Guardiola. So he went there. So maybe incorporate that into signing big players. If the more brilliant, fame.
I'm sure they could take that idea and run with it. Because you don't need to do an awful lot, do you? Like, no. It just something comes up on the screen. You've been invited to this event. You exactly. do this thing,
do a speech,
and how you answer
things,
the question, how
done.
Yeah, and how you handle yourself. Maybe you fucking make it. Maybe you do a little Ricky Gervais and piss everyone off or something. Yeah. You know,
anything.
There's just a lot you could do with this game beyond. But every year. They trope out the same stuff, or they might change a little bit behind the scenes around the training.
They do the FIFA
the
thing, don't
development.
They?
Development. And it's like, that's fine.
In.
And it's like, that I'm sure they are little meaningful things, but ultimately, this game is about momentum.
Right.
Football Manager is a game of momentum. It's not necessarily a game about detail, I think, actually. I think it needs a bit of a reboot. But in terms of remakes or bringing stuff into the new age, I think Donkey Kong needs to get a 3D game, and I know there is a much rumoured 3D Donkey Kong game for the Switch that I hope gets announced sometime, but Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, the 2D game, was the best 2D platformer I have ever played, and that's also on Switch as well, and Donkey Kong as an IP deserves to have a good 3D game, and I'm not sure it ever has had a good 3D game. So that I'm not counting like the one on the SNES games, I thought were wonderful, kind of that almost 2.5D for the time platformers, that they were fantastic. But yeah, I think Donkey Kong needs a proper 3D game, and
it's not really a reboot, that's just a creation.
No, it's a reboot. It's a reboot of the franchise.
Well, no, because they haven't had any out for a long time, have they?
Yeah, Donkey Kong 64 was the last one, I think.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So, yeah, Pete. Right.
Yeah, Pete.
It's the fact that you kept Pete. Doing that. There's never been a good one. So, why are we rebooting it then? But yeah.
So,
there's been
then.
Good games.
Mine, I recently was on What the Fuck Do You Want's podcast, and I actually spoke about this. It was a Metal Gear Solid 1 reboot / remake. It was more of a remake, because, to be honest with you, the Metal Gear Solid franchise is probably now dead in the water, because Kojima's no longer on it. I know Konami have released a couple of kind of spin-offs and stuff since, and they've...
Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, did it survive? I don't think it has.
Yeah.
By the way, tragic. I would love to play that game. I love the base building mechanics in that.
Of course.
Honestly, people have ripped it so much, I can't play it.
you'll feel guilty. It'd be like playing Minecraft.
It's a Minecraft porn thing again.
So, I mean, I've mentioned in many podcasts before, I'd love to have one of these, and I think a lot of other people would as well. Just the first game came out in 1999, and it would just hit so many notes, even if it was just a like-for-like remake, just in up-to-date graphics. That's all I want, but even if they did a good reboot, that would be fantastic. But my other one, which is a bit different, but I think, Pete, you probably can relate to this, is a Burnout reboot / remake. So Criterion Games, they made the Burnout games, and then they got folded into... I can't remember who they got folded into, actually, but they got because they were under EA, weren't they?
Yes.
And then they got, I think they probably had to go and do something with another big franchise, and now there are no more Burnout games. But the main ones that I particularly enjoyed were Takedown and Revenge, because the whole mechanics of those games were just fantastic. It was a pure arcade racer, and it was just the adrenaline of. You literally would have so many close calls, and you'd feel like a god as you're doing it. But if you fucked up, then you would pay the price for it. But the satisfaction of taking down when they brought that mechanic into the third game, where if you hit someone just right, you could pummel them into oncoming traffic or something.
Yeah.
It was so satisfying, man. It was just great.
Multiplayer with that was phenomenal as well.
Yes.
Absolutely. So good, especially on split screen, like just absolutely ruining the person you're playing against.
Do you remember all the chain combos you could do with the boosts as well? So you could go on forever if you were good enough, and it, again, that was one of those really satisfying mechanics, that because you would just get this NOS boost basically, and then you'd see your bar go down, but if you made sure you didn't hit any other cars at all or scratch them or anything like that, then it would go, you'd get another boost going. And it was just, it's just a great game. They obviously brought out Paradise, which I enjoyed when that came out, but it wasn't the same because they went down a more open world route, which was quite, I guess, a bit ahead of its time for racing.
I've always
games,
been
but...
interested in Paradise, you know, because I think it was on Game Pass at one point. It might be on EA Play now.
Yeah.
I think it might be on EA Play, and it's on Switch as well. I've always been interested in Paradise, but never.
It's okay. It's not what they deterred too much from what Burnout was, and there's a reason that was the last game, because I don't, it was revered as quite a good game, but not as good as what the previous entries were,
and not enough to take the series forward.
Yeah.
I think you're bang on with this. I think Burnout would absolutely kill it if they did a new one.
It's a proper arcade racer. We don't have proper arcade racers anymore. There is nothing like it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, what about Ridge Racer? Bring back Ridge Racer.
Oh, yeah, Ridge Racer! I played the shit out of that. Oh, Rage Racer! That's the one I played a shit ton of.
Rage Racer.
Yeah, do you remember Rage Racer?
That's just that's just Eddie's driving style in real life.
Honestly, Rage Racer is fantastic. Look it up.
Okay,
probably doesn't exist. Quiet, I think he might be.
Right, beyond that though, we have 8 choices here, not however many more we're trying to add here. As a podcast, guys, let's make a choice of one.
Fucking
one of these.
We can't decide on anything.
I think Metal Gear Solid would be the one that would satisfy the most people, most gamers. But I think Vagrant Story would be the one that would be one of a generation, I think, if it came back.
See, oddly enough, I'm torn with Burnout.
Yeah.
I think a reboot of Burnout would be a fantastic thing.
Yes, I do.
And I think Heroes of Might and Magic, so, yeah.
Right, we've got 3 for Burnout. That'll do. There's plenty of 2s.
But the biggest thing there is that the Grumpy Gamers have chosen a Vroomy Vroomy game.
Yeah,
it's not a typical Vroomy game though. No, you can't spin it that way, mate. It's not.
It's a Vroomy Vroomy. Oh, we want to see it rebooted.
We cannot say we're not balanced towards Vroomy Vroomy crappy games when we really want to see Burnout.
Pete, you love Burnout. You can't say that.
It's not a Vroomy Vroomy game. It's a violence game with some driving in between.
Exactly.
We love that.
It's a fighter. Okay, got you.
But if people disputed this choice, Ben, how would they let us know?
You could email us at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You could tweet us at grumpygamerspod. We are also on YouTube, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, and Twitch, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, where we will be streaming the next part of The Quarry, and it's going to be a part with a lot of potential deaths. So that's on Thursday, 7 p.m. BST.
I might not be able to watch that, you know, because I was enjoying what was going on, but I want to play it myself.
I know, like, that's the problem with it, you know, because I know John's, we got up to the part where John's at, I know somebody else who wants to watch it as well, and they might be playing it. So it's one of those games that you want to experience for yourself. So I get it.
I did see someone on Twitter who had said that she had all the characters alive and she was on like the 4th chapter or something. And I was thinking,
too good,
Ben,
too good.
Ben was playing and he killed someone in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Ben said there's a chance a lot of people will die, I was like, that's always going to happen when you play this game.
Yeah. Well, my goal has never been to keep people alive. It's just to tell my own story, Pete.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, but anyway, until Thursday for this week, it is GG.
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 GG.